I have a couple of questions. Then I'm going to tell you a little something about me. Then I have a Bible quiz for you. Because I'm a teacher. I like giving tests, right? So I'm going to tell you a Bible story, but I'm not going to use names. Not at least until you guys can figure out which story it is. So when we get to that, you have to figure out who... I've got some high-quality actors going to come and help me. We've practiced all of 0 minutes, so they're going to do a great job. So you have to figure out who they're acting. Okay? How many of you have a friend? I hope you all have a friend. Okay, hands down. Now, can you think of a time when your friend said something to you? Okay. Okay, do any of you have any really close friends that have never said anything to you? Any parents have any really close friends that have never said anything to them? No? See, it's pretty hard to have a friend if you never talk to each other. See, I can talk to my wife till the cows come home, all of Mr. Borman's cows, but if she doesn't talk back to me, we're not really being friends. So we actually talk to each other. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of little examples of how God has talked to me. Hey, Kezia. This is my daughter, by the way, Kezia. How many years ago, do you remember how many years ago we moved to Vancouver? About? 6 years. 6 years ago. 6 years ago, me and Mrs. Funk and Elijah and Kezia moved to Vancouver. For 2 years before that, actually almost 2.5 years before that, God kept saying to me in different ways, you're going to move. Because I lived in Winnipeg, far away. But didn't quite know where or when or what. And then suddenly God said, you're going to move to Vancouver. And boom, we moved. That was great. We moved here and we lived in a house for a while. And then God said, okay, it's time for you to move to North Vancouver. And so we moved to North Vancouver and we loved it there. We had a great time. And then God said to us, you need to sell the condominium you live in. So we did. God said, sell it. You know what? God hasn't exactly said where we're supposed to move to yet. God was very gracious because you see Veronica there. Where's Graham? Oh, there's, hi Graham. Veronica and Graham and their family are letting us stay with them right now, which is great. But we don't think that we're going to stay there for the next 40 years. So we're really hoping God speaks. But he hasn't spoken to us yet about where we're supposed to live. So hopefully soon. You can all pray for Tim and Mylene and their kids. But I do believe God will speak to us. He will. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I need to move this. This is now becoming a prop. All right, can you guys just slide back a little bit? And let's get my two actors up here. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. And as soon as you think you know who these two guys are, then put up your hand. Okay? Actually, I do need another volunteer. Wolf, I don't suppose you could just come and sit in this chair. It needs to be a guy. You don't have to say anything. You just have to sit here, really. You can even close your eyes, actually. Because this is Dad. This is Dad. These are Dad's twin sons. Son number one and son number two. See, way back in the early Bible times, it's very important to know, even though they're twins, it was important to know who son number one was. Because back then, the oldest son, even though he was only oldest by like a couple of minutes, actually they kind of look like twins, don't they? That's why I chose him. It's wonderful. Son number one, the way it worked back then, whoever was the oldest, essentially they were the most important. Dad, of course, would favor the oldest son. Give him all the blessing. And when Dad dies, who's supposed to take over the family business? The oldest son. Right? That's the way it worked back then. Now, the problem was, son number two here, he was a bit of a schemer. So, son number one, he was really skilled and talented. And one day, you know, he was out and doing some hunting and having a grand old time. So he was, just go out and do some hunting. We'll see you in just a minute. And when he was out doing that, you see, Dad was really old. He couldn't even close his eyes because he couldn't really see anything anyways. Son number two came in and tricked Dad. Because son number one is supposed to be a little hairier. And son number two puts, you guys know who this is yet? A few of you? Okay, hold on. I'm going to wait, see if a few more. Son number two put something special on his arms and said, Dad, see, it's me. I'm son number one. And he said, Dad, give me your blessing. So Dad said, sure. And he blessed him. See, look at that. He's just been blessed. All right. So, son number two steps aside, and guess what happens? Son number one comes back. Now, how many of you know son number one's name? 3, 2, 1, what is it? Esau. Well done. Do you know son number two's name? Boy, I wish I had candy. You guys deserve a prize. I should have brought candies today. Son number one comes back and goes to Dad and says, Dad, could you bless me? And he says, sorry, I've already blessed your brother. Okay, here's a question for you. Now, son number one, come up here, son. You got to act this out. Don't say anything. Act out. How do you think son number one would feel after he found out he just got tricked by his little brother? No, you just got tricked by your little brother, and he stole everything that belongs to you. How would you feel? You're a good actor. You can show, yeah. See that? Now, guys, how do you think he feels? Angry. What else? Mad, angry, sad, somebody said. What? Yeah. What do you think he might want to do? What? Say that again.
Kill him.
You know, I think if they made a movie of the Bible, it would be an R-rated movie, because that's exactly what he wanted to do. And he said, when Dad dies, I'm going to kill him.
When Dad dies, I'm going to kill him.
Okay. So, how do you think son number two felt?
How do you think he felt?
Yeah? Okay, what do you think? How does he feel? Scared. Scared. Very scared. What do you think son number two did? Ran away. Bye-bye. All right, thank you, guys. I got to change for scene two here. All right. So, this is now changed to a tree. This is also a tree here. There we go. So, here we go. Where am I going? There we go. Okay. So, son number two took off. Any of you ever go camping? I go camping. When you go camping, do any of you bring those nice, comfy air mattresses? You pump up and you lie down and a nice pillow and a warm sleeping bag. Yeah, that's what I do. Any of you guys do anything like that? Okay, son number two, Jacob. He's out running away. I guess maybe he didn't have time to bring the air mattress because he didn't have that or a pillow. And he's out running away. And he's scared, probably for his life. But his dad did give him some directions. So he finds a spot and he lies down. And instead of a pillow, look what he has. Just kick your feet back a little bit. Go to that. There you go. Okay. So, again, how did he feel when he ran away? Scared. Now, do anybody remember what his dad's name was? No? Isaac? He knew God. He had a relationship with God. Do you think he was hoping God would help him? His brother was probably hoping God would help him too. But he was really hoping God would tell him. Now, I hope my special effect works. And I hope nobody gets hurt. There we go. Jacob, lying down, he was asleep actually. Jacob was asleep. And he had this dream. This absolutely amazing dream. He saw these stairs. I didn't want to build stairs that came down, so I built a ladder. These stairs that went right up to heaven. And he saw angels going up and down the stairs. And he thought, oh my, I think he was dreaming. And when he woke up, he thought, I think God spoke to me. But God did actually speak to him in his dream too. He said many things. I'm going to highlight two things that God said to Jacob. Anybody know anything that God said to Jacob before I say my two things? You guys remember the story of the ladder? I think it's really cool. He just had this dream of this ladder coming down from heaven. Angels going up and down, opening a doorway to heaven. And God said two things. Remember, how did he feel when he ran away? He was scared. But God said two things. One thing God said, I am with you. Can you guys say that? I am with you. Do you think that would help him? Matt, how big do you think God is? After last week, we heard about how big God is. God is with him. That would help. The other thing he said is, I will protect you. Can you say that? I will protect you. Do you think that young man would feel a little better after having a dream where he saw heaven open up and a stairway come down, angels going everywhere, and God actually speaking, I'm going to be with you. You have nothing to fear. I will protect you. Do you think that would help him? Have any of you ever had a time when you're a little bit scared? Hopefully none of your brothers threatened to kill you. Anybody ever get scared? Let's ask your mom and dads. Anybody out there ever get scared? I have. All right. If you ever get scared, you can remember God is with you. And you know what? As you grow up, I'm confident God will speak to you. Maybe not the same way he spoke to Jacob. He might not get a big dream with a ladder in heaven. But God will speak to you. He speaks in many different ways. Jesus, I just pray that you'd help these kids and help all of us to really receive from you today all that you want to teach us about you speaking. And Lord, you want to speak to these kids and to every adult who's here every day. Because Lord, you are our friend. Would you help us to remember that you're our friend and you want to speak to us? Amen. All right, you guys can, unless Mr. Borman wants you up here.
Spoke to Jacob. Jacob wasn't that great of a guy, you know. Mr. Funk talks about, are you ever scared? And you can be reassured that you can depend on God. But sometimes we're scared and we deserve to be, like Jacob. And it's in those times that usually Satan's the one lying to us and telling us, you can't hear God right now. You caused this problem yourself. How many times do we mess up our own life like Jacob did and we think there's no way I can talk to God? I've messed up my situation myself. How many times have people told us, you made your bed, you lie in your bed? That's a saying in our society. And we think that way. If you cause the problem, then you'll have to get yourself out of it. If you cause the problem, then you're not good enough to talk to God. Until you fix the problem and get back on good terms with him. But the story that Mr. Funk gave us from the Bible is a story about Jacob, who was a deceiver, and his father was a deceiver. And so many people who God talked to in the Bible, you think about King David, commits adultery and murders the husband, and God talks to him. How many times do we read in the Bible about people who really messed up life and God still comes to talk to them? And this is the story after the Garden of Eden, after man has made a mess of our lives. One of those men who was in a mess, not a perfect man, but kind of a loser. He was a homeboy. He was a mama's boy. His brother was the hunter. He stayed home and made soup. He pretended. It wasn't even his idea. It was his mommy's idea to trick her husband and bless him. He went along with mommy's idea to do something mean to his older brother and to trick his blind father. Not just his father, his blind father, who was ailing and old and should have been cared for. The guy was really messing up. And this is the kind of person that running away in a situation that he had created for himself, deserving nothing, and suddenly he has this vision where he sees an opening to heaven. And he wakes up. And the Bible says that he was in great awe. And he said to himself, "Oh, I found the entrance to heaven. There's a way to communicate to God. There's a way into heaven. I thought we were separated from Him, but look, I just found out there's a doorway into heaven. There's an opening." There was three parts of the story. A ladder or a stairway. A way in. Angels going up and down, from heaven to earth, coming out to patrol and to do God's bidding on the earth. And thirdly, there was the Lord at the top. You find this story in Genesis chapter 28. You might want to read it tonight as a family. Genesis 2:8. The Lord is standing at the top. And He's standing there to speak to Jacob. He's standing there for the purpose of telling him, "Be reassured, you're going to come back alive. You're not going to get killed. And furthermore, all the promises I told your dad about, and all the promises I told your grandfather Abraham about, are going to be upon you. You don't deserve it. God does not treat us according to our sins. He treats us according to His incredible mercy." Jacob responded with belief, with faith. He didn't respond with, "Oh, that can't be true. I'm a bad guy. That can't be true. I don't deserve that." That isn't what he did. The Bible says that he responded with dedication. And he responded with saying, "God, if all these things are true, and if all these things come to pass, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to give you 10% of all of my income." That's what he did. "If you bring me back and you do all these things, I'm going to follow you." He responded with faith. And the message to us is the same. That God talks to people, not just good people, but in particular, God speaks to people who mess up their lives. And He offers them reassurance. And then He offers them promises that we don't deserve. And He says to us, "Come into my eternal home and have life. You too can be with me. Not because you're good enough, not because you did 10 right things, but because He's offering." And when He offers life to you, you can respond with faith like Jacob did. "Oh God, would you really do that? I will serve you forever. All that I have is yours. Take my life and use me." That's our response to God. But there's something even better about this story. We started with a passage in Hebrews where the author says that in the past, God spoke to us in many different ways, dreams and visions and different prophets. But today He speaks to us through Jesus, His Son. Jesus, it's recorded in the book of John, that He was choosing 12 guys to follow Him and to be with Him. And He went and He got Philip. Philip went over to his friend Nathanael and said, "Nathanael, I think we found the Messiah. I think after all these years in our lifetime, the great promised Messiah has arrived. He's from Nazareth." And Philip says, "Nazareth? That's like Surrey." Oh, sorry. Oh, you guys, I'm sorry, 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 sorry. He says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding?" "Come along," says Philip. And so Philip and Nathanael approach Jesus, and then Jesus beats him to the story, and He says this. He talks to Nathanael, and He saw him coming, and He said of Nathanael, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked Him. Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip came to get you. Whoa! That would make you believe pretty quick. Yeah, I saw you half an hour ago before Philip got you under the fig tree. Nathanael responds, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He's immediately convinced. Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see greater things than that. I tell you the truth, you will see heaven opened. And you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Right there, Jesus goes back to Jacob's dream. And he says to Nathanael, a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false, you know your Bible stories. Remember that story about Jacob? You just realize that I'm the Messiah, that I'm the Son of God. I'm also a man in man's place. And I'm standing on earth. And you're going to see heaven opened and a connection between heaven and mankind through me. Not just angels doing his bidding because of a physical ladder or a staircase. The ladder is me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not many ways into heaven. There's one entrance, and I'm it. There are not many gods. There are not many ways to know him. The Lord, the God of heaven and earth, stands at the top with all the angels doing his bidding. And Jesus said, you're going to see me, the connection. And you know, at his baptism, the heavens opened and God spoke about his Son. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, the same. And God spoke about his Son. Jesus is the way that you and I have access to the Father. We, like Jacob, lay our head on our stone, unable to change our situation. But God wants to talk to us through his Son, Jesus. We, like Jacob, deserve what we get. We have messed up our lives. That's exactly the kind of way that God wants to glorify himself. He wants to come to those who cannot help themselves and say, I'm here and I've made a way. You've been separated from me. There's no way for you to come, but I have come to you in Jesus, the man who took your place. Let's stand and let's worship him.